I know it because Stone Cold always talks about the Troubadours like one of the greatest songs of all time. About like, it's very like, on, it's kind of like On the Road Again, I think. Like, it's just like.
What about the Trumpeteers?
I still feel 25.
Bitch, you sound 50.
Most of the time, I still raise a little cane with the boys.
You raise a little what with the boys?
Raises his little cane with the boys.
Lord, what is he talking about? Did he open a chicken restaurant?
He's talking about a J shape.
He'd be a pervy.
J shaped instrument. It's long. Sometimes
it's like a long trumpet. Like bitch, you never feel like Jesse James. Porn star Jesse James? That's what you feel like?
I think porn star Jesse James, it's a girl, right?
Yeah.
I think she committed suicide recently.
He feels like committing suicide is the song?
Yeah.
Shit. That's deep.
Also, I mean, I know you're doing a bit. You really not know what Raising Cane is?
Yeah, it's the chicken joint. Right, like, there was a rum that I liked. It's called Ten Cane.
Oh no, Jesse Jane.
Is Raising Kane, like the boy's name is K-A-N-E, and he's raising him up to be like a big boy?
Yeah.
Does he have an actual cane?
It's about his leg's
not working.
It's about the wrestler's parents that he burnt alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That the Undertaker accidentally burnt alive.
Ah, my face is on fire. Doot, 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 doot. Raising Kane. No, I don't know what Raising Kane is.
It's like an old-timey thing for raising hell. Like, Kane is...
Cocaine? Because
Kane is the first murderer. So...
Kane and Abel?
Yes.
So they're raising a murderer?
No, Raising Cain means raising hell.
Wait, you can't
like you're a hellraiser.
Cain with hell. That's not fair. That's not what the dictionary's about.
I mean, it's been done for hundreds of years.
Andy, you've been the dictionary more than anyone I know. So,
dude, Raising Cain is just raising some hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're eating hell chicken when we have Raising Cains.
Hell yeah,
exactly,
bro!
Exactly right.
It's oh, okay. Forging the flames of hell.
Dude, we should be raptured right now.
They cook it under wrestling rings.
That's crazy, man.
Which we all know is where hell belongs.
Dude, I've seen a pig get roasted on an open fire one time.
Have we started, like, did we decide we're going to use that Georgia Strait song?
Is this the start of the episode?
I guess so.
Okay, the first and last time.
I guess it's up to Andy if he wants to.
Let's go for it. Yeah.
Okay. I bet this is like the ultimate, like Daniel's just like infuriated right now because not only does the audience not know if we've started, like the people on the show also do not know if it's been started. So.
And also, this sweet rap this week is brought to you by This Is Gonna Suck.
Wait, the sweet rap is gonna suck?
No,
it's brought to you by This Is Gonna Suck. It's a new it's a new vacuum. Go to thisisgonnasuck.com and put in promo code Draft Podcast for all your fucking vacuuming needs.
You know, you guys gotta talk to me before you sign up on endorsements because I haven't even heard about This Sucks yet.
Yeah. Dude, you know the rainbow vacuum cleaner?
Like a vacuum to rainbows?
No, you don't know about the rainbow vacuum cleaner? People used to come to your door and sell it.
Oh.
Buy it.
I mean, I think so. I didn't know it was the rainbow vacuum cleaner, but I know that there were like door-to-door vacuum sales.
Yeah, they would just like bang housewives.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. And sell vacuums.
It was a big network.
Yeah. Well, there's a rainbow. What's at the beginning of a rainbow? What's at the end of a rainbow?
A pot of gold?
Nah, man.
A leprechaun?
Plug in dirt.
A what?
A plug in dirt. Because you plug the vacuum in and you suck that dirt up. That's a rainbow. It's a good vacuum.
Wait. Do you work for the company now? Are you trying to sell us a vacuum?
Also, are you talking about our competitor? Like, we're sponsored by, hey, this is going to suck.
Well, this is going to suck has different models, you know. If you're toilet.com, you don't just sell one.
This is crazy that, like, I had no idea I was being, like.
But if you're Hoover.com, you would sell one type of vacuum cleaner.
This is going to suck.com is a little bit different of a website.
It's all vacuum cleaners.
Oh, okay. It's like a Walmart for just vacuum cleaners.
Hoover's
okay.
On there.
Hoover. Yeah, Hoover, dude,
it's
got
like industrial strength vacuums too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's got them vacuums that you can't just get at the car wash.
So speaking of that, right?
Yeah.
Like I saw the people who like clean up our thing. And they still have, like, old school fucking, like, the...
Like, bagged vacuum cleaners?
Bagged, yes! And, like, it's like, where do you... And they got the big square head at the bottom. Like, I want one of those. Those things are legit. Like, where do they still find these things?
That
old they
movie
fucking...
theaters. Old movie theaters, yeah. No doubt.
Well, like, it's like a cleaning service?
Yeah, like the cleaning service.
At your work. Like,
yes.
I bet you that's like an industrial cleaning service vacuum. Cause like when I worked in the hotel, even when like Dyson was around and it was like,
yeah,
had the ball thing and everything, but they had those same type of old looking vacuum. The ones that are just tried and true. They fucking work every time. They're bad as fuck.
Exactly. Yeah.
They guys, suck.
We could be the Nike.
Wait.
Of vacuum bags.
Why the fuck? How the fuck are we in a whole thing about vacuums right now? Can we please move the fuck on?
Dude, what imagine you got a checkerboard vacuum.
I can't even believe.
You got like a baby blue vacuum with
I just
purple
realized,
accents.
Andy, yeah. I just realized that we are like legitimately talking about vacuums now.
And Jay, like, it wasn't just me and Andy. Like, James got right in.
I got sucked in. I can't even believe it. I feel like I got totally manipulated just now. My God. My fucking. You guys literally got into my head.
Oh, man. That's the best place I've ever been.
I'm gonna try using this vacuum talk on, like, a random lady at a bar. Like, just see if it works.
So.
But, like, have you ever know? Like, let me ask you something. Do you work at an office? Like,
hey, no, you got to start with, hey, you know what's on either end of a rainbow?
Dirt and a plug. You know what I mean? If you know what I mean.
Oh, man. Dude, you can't be starting out conversation with SS, you know? Suck strength. You gotta say hi at least.
No.
How many BTUs that sucker got?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Sweet rap. I need a second.
Brought to you by this is gonna suck.com.
Talk about the network for a second, man.
Drew, why don't you tell them where to go?
Which network? The Jabroni U Network?
Yeah.
It's got all those great shows.
Vacuum Network. Not the network of vacuums and vacuum suppliers that we're connected with now.
Dude, I've watched TV in for hours.
Yeah. Go to JabroniU.com. Watch, listen to all the great shows on the Jabroni U Network.
Yep, that's enough. I stepped into the bathroom and see James P. And he jumped three times and spun like, Mike, what the hell am I seeing? Yo, James, fuck was that, dog? My signature shake of my big hog. First I shake to the left and shake to the right. Then I shake down because it's been up all night. I spin because I like to feel pretty. I call it magic juice across the city. Yo, Drew, you got a signature shake? Did Carlton on speed stay awake? Well, fuck, let me see your move. You got to pay extra for that shit, dude. So I hand him some water and send over Apple Pay. About 30 minutes later, he says, "Follow me this way." He whips out his Pentec and starts to whiz. Looks back at me and says, "This is what ladies call riz." He quickly curls into a ball, rolls back before he goes into fall. Lands on all fours and shakes and whips like wet pups. Can't see his wiener, but I could def see his nuts. Hops on his feet and pulls his pants up at once. Walks by me and whispers, "That's impressive as fuck." Stunned from what I see, I get Nick Jonas jealous. I don't have a signature shake to show the fellas. So I ask Jay to pass me the J. I'm going to have a signature shake by the end of the day. I workshop some styles.
Did he just have a stroke?
He can't get through his own rap. Because the rap is about him showing me different styles of shaking his dick.
Was I think the fact that he said that J, and it just reminded him of that J trumpet.
Yeah, probably, man. I don't know.
I wish people could watch Jabroni U, because my God.
Oh, man. I'll workshop some styles and make some calls.
Break directly out of it.
Do I focus my shake on the peen or maybe the balls? I try chanting cool things like golden juice in the air. But still, after all the trials, I ain't quite there. James and Drew seem to be distraught as could be. They whisper in each ear, "You gotta be free." Without thinking, I sprint to the stroom. Like Kevin James, here comes the boom. The dudes look on and cheer me on. I can feel it. The piss is almost gone. I jump in the air and grab the commode. Beat on the bottom of the bowl. Moving my hips like
bottom of the bowl.
Moving my hips like Channing Tatum. Drew says, "Damn, that shit is excellent." Verbatim. James starts to oh my God. They're out of breath like an asthma attack. I throw my legs to the side and throw down an arm. I say, "Sup, dudes," and smile with great charm.
Daniel?
I'm hanging with my right hand on the holster. It looked like Pimp hanging on the rim in a poster. Hanging there, I say, as I drop to my feet, pants down, and Drew Ann's shakes the wean. Now my heart is full and doesn't ache. That's the anatomy of a signature shake.
There we go. Oh. Yeah, Daniel is rolling over in his grave right now.
We're doing impressive traits today, everybody.
No. How? I'm not even gonna ask. Like, we got
I just
into
got going. I got into the story and I couldn't stop. When you catch the bug,
that's his signature. Drew, it was great verbatim from you.
That's what you said, man.
That's what you said verbatim when it happened. You're like, God.
Dude, who throws verbatim in a rap verse?
That was legit. I popped from, it was all the dick shaking, but I popped from verbatim.
Oh, man.
All right.
Welcome
to the draft podcast.
Oh, what a start.
Should I replay the George Strait song and we start again?
Oh, man.
What if we got trapped in a Groundhog Day where it was just this opening? Like, it was like the last 19 minutes only.
For that would suck, because look at that. See what that is?
A microphone?
No, right there.
Oh.
That's me spinning on the microphone.
Oh, I see.
I was really spitting for real.
Oh, he's spitting.
He's spitting.
Oh, man.
Well.
He was showing a spit.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
These are the things that motivate us.
Yep.
spit
on my screen.
Like too. we watch Andy Sweet Rap, and we're like, God damn, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck getting through that one we just did, though.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know why that one was so tough. It's pretty straight and to the point.
Yeah, pretty George Strait.
Yep. Or wasn't ain't that middle name? One word.
What?
Dude, he came out.
Oh, George ain't straight?
Ain't that.
Did he come out as gay?
No. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know anything about George Strait.
You just, like, I mean, I don't know if he would appreciate.
Hey, look, man, George Strait.
We straight, George.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been named the king of country music.
The balls dropped.
Mm-hmm.
James, Andy, Drew. Mm-hmm. Which I don't necessarily like that.
Well, you Jushin have
all the cantaloupes.
You have something to say about it.
You do.
You're the only one with something to say about it, James.
I know. God, maybe I should do the reroll. I'm actually going to. I'm going to reroll.
Wow.
Whoa.
I don't want first place on this.
Drew, I changed your name to start with a C.
Crew.
Crew.
No, because. I said juicing all the cantaloupes, all the one word. And then I said cantaloupes. Your name doesn't start with a C. I must have really wanted to talk about cantaloupes. I don't really like them.
Actually, you just added someone because juicing all, duh.
No, all duh is one word, like I said.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Andy like James Alan. Drew now.
Okay.
Beautiful.
All right.
I lost my reroll.
Let's re-race that.
It's gone.
All right. Oh. So, dude, you made me catch the
Yeah, I know. Sorry, yeah. My nasals are flowing now, too.
Dude, I got is your nasy super drippy?
Oh, yeah, I got I got to do a little cry laugh there. A little laugh
you got a little
cry.
Drippy daisy?
Yeah, I got a
at
little
this point,
drippy.
I don't even want to draft. I just want to. we should just do this draft next week.
Just scrap it. Yeah.
I got some Ravens to talk about, so.
Dude, we could talk about nasy drippies.
Yeah.
Don't talk about my nasy drippies.
Shouldn't it be drippy nasies?
What?
It's whatever you want, you know?
Don't tell my nasies how to live their life, Drew.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah. Get your druggy nasies out of this drippy nasies world.
Sorry, nasies.
Yeah.
Nasies. Drew apologizes, nasies.
Don't be a nasiator.
Nasiator.
Well. I'll take the inspiration for the draft. I'm
going
to take...
Wait, we're going?
Pop that.
Okay, go.
The inspiration for the draft is these signature moves or these impressive traits. And when I watch this guy do this thing, my eyes are glued. And when he does this thing, sales go up. That's a fact. I'm taking Tom Cruise running.
Tom Cruise running.
Tom Cruise running, man.
Something Tom about Cruise it. Doing the, Tom Cruise doing the running, man.
For real. But how immaculate is his form in whatever he's wearing?
Oh, no, yeah. And he puts every fucking muscle in his body into that run.
Yeah, if they show it from behind, it looks amazing. But guess what? If you show it from the front, it looks just as amazing.
It looks amazing, yeah.
Because he's got a running face.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He keeps his composure.
He pumps his arms. His elbows are in the right spot. His back is flat. And he's just moving.
He's moving. Yeah.
Yeah. And some fucking floor shimes. Just booking it.
Like, know? The movie Jerry Maguire. There was not a reason for him to run in that movie. Like, he was a sports agent. But
apparently there's actual legitimate fact that the more he runs in movies, the more the movie makes in money.
Well, yeah, he ran in that movie.
Yeah.
But like, I was so after you guys were talking about this, I got thinking about it, and like, you know, I've said it, and it's not a joke. Like Days of Thunder, I fucking like it's my favorite Tom Cruise movie.
Legs are broke.
Like he like even at the end of that movie, he fucking races Robert Duvall. Like it ends with like them, those two running as like a freeze frame.
Yeah.
Like it's he even runs in that fucking movie.
That's crazy. I mean, he runs in Risky Business.
He's in a wheelchair in that movie at some point though, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Born on the 4th of July.
You're thinking of, I mean, him and fucking,
you're thinking of White Chicks.
The guy from, Guardians of the Galaxy and Mallrats.
Once you go black, you're gonna need a wheelchair.
What's his name?
No, dude. I'm thinking of Born on the 4th of July, which is probably the lowest grossing Tom Cruise movie of all time because he's in a wheelchair most of the fucking movie.
Them legs can't run.
Yeah.
The money don't speak.
That's right.
What is that guy's name?
Tom Cruise.
No.
The guy that Born on the 4th of July is about?
No, the guy from that was in Days of Thunder, but he was also in fucking Guardians of the Galaxy and Walking Dead.
Michael something?
Yes.
Michael, not Pratt. Michael.
Hooper? No.
Hooker? No.
Yeah, Rooker.
Rooker.
Michael.
Yes.
Yeah, we got there. We got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that we got there.
Me too.
Yeah, we got there.
Yeah. James?
It was like we were playing Wheel of Fortune with no fucking letters on the board.
Yep.
It's the autobiography of Ronald Kovic. He's an anti-war activist and former United States Marine Corps sergeant.
Would have been better about
Tom Cruise, Born on the 4th of July, lowest grossing Tom Cruise movie of all time.
Man. It's that and then like Vanilla Sky.
Oh man, Vanilla.
But she was also disabled.
He runs in that movie, though.
Does he?
Oh fuck yeah, he runs.
He runs through her.
Remember at the end when he's running and he keeps saying tech support.
Oh yeah,
he's running.
No wait, is that?
Yeah, Vanilla Sky.
You know it's crazy. Tom Cruise, Days of Thunder.
I always
1990. Mellow yellow jumper.
Yeah.
Who gets Mellow Yellow anymore? They have it at Arby's if you want it.
Really?
But who gets it?
Dude, I would get Mellow Yellow.
We should bring Mellow Yellow back.
Mellow Yellow is like a thing that if I saw it, I would get it. Even though I don't want it, I'd be like, fuck, oh, man, when was the last time I had a Mellow Yellow?
I feel like it's out there, though, and we just don't see it. It's in front of our face. And we just
I think it's only available like that, like in some weird fountain forms. Like, you can't get, like, a 12-pack of it, you know?
If you get a Mellow Yellow and you let the yellow mellow, the mellow turns yellow.
That's right.
What's Mellow Yellow to Mountain Dew? Because Mountain Dew, like, straight up just jacked Mellow Yellow's whole vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Or did Mellow Yellow come first?
But I'm saying, like, Mountain Dew had, like, that guy with, like, the sugar cane or whatever, that the stuff from Stock, the country dude, the cutoff jeans, the big ass feet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the commence the jangling guy.
Yep. And then Mellow Yellow has this like red and green and yellow thing, and they're in Days of Thunder and racing, and then Mountain Dew's like, racing's ours now. You're just gonna go the fuck away. And then, like, Mountain Dew just took over that spot, and people were like, what happened to Mellow Yellow?
Well, Mountain Dew fucking embraced the extreme lifestyle, you know? And then,
And yellow is a little bit more
mellow. Mellow yellow was like, nah, dude, you don't got to be extreme. Just chill.
Just chilling, like, no, bro. No. Just drink this fucking sugary caffeinated beverage and chill out, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and mellow yellow is Coke and Mountain Dew is Pepsi.
Yeah.
So, like Pepsi was getting, like, kind of dunked on by Coke for a while, a long time. And then Mountain Dew probably was like, screw you, we're going to take out your number two.
Well, they can all suck shit because Mountain Lightning is right there, baby.
Yeah.
Crashing down right upon them.
Yep. So here it is. Mellow Yellow was created by the Coca-Cola Company in March 12th, 1979 to compete with Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah. Mellow Yellow came second.
Damn. And they straight up came out to try to take on Mountain Dew.
There's also something, and I don't, it's very rare that I don't even know if you can find it anymore, but I remember it when back in my younger days. Man, this is a total bell breaker, by the way.
Yeah.
But Billy Hill, have you guys ever had Billy Hill?
No.
That's a drink or that's a person?
Well, it's fucking because it's Hillbilly, but it's Billy Hill, and it's a fucking, it's a Mountain Dew fucking thing too, and I don't know where that falls in the place in the pantheon of drinks, but yeah,
I've never met either of them.
Yeah.
Hillbilly beverages. No.
Tom Cruise.
Was it not Hill Billy? I thought it was Billy Hill.
That is Billy Hill. Yeah, okay. I see it here now.
I see Hillbilly beverages.
I don't think Billy Hill exists anymore.
Probably did they not change it to Hillbilly?
I don't know.
Because they got some tea and some lemonade. And
if I go to canmuseum.com, they don't even know what year this Billy Hill can came from.
I'll tell you what, this Hillbilly drink looks actually delicious as shit.
Canmuseum.com has zero information, by the way. If you have a question about a can, do not
go to... Where is the Can Museum?
Do not go to canmuseum.com because they do not do any research whatsoever.
Dude, where are they located?
Let's see here.
I'd love to go to the
Can. I wonder who curates canmuseum.com. And how did I even find myself on canmuseum.com? This is crazy. I'm in the deepest, darkest depths of the internet.
Dude, I found Can Museum. Beer Can Museum is in Taunton, Massachusetts, if you guys are looking to have a little fun weekend trip. James, what's your pick?
Oh, I'm going to do Kevin Smith, I think. And I'm going to do
Kevin
him.
Kevin Smith what?
I'm going to do him for storytelling ability, I guess. I don't know. Something like that. I don't know if I'm doing this right. But ultimately, the way I thought about it is, like, nobody else to me has the ability to, like, make a group of kids just hanging out at the mall as fun as Kevin Smith. And then it, like, doesn't even translate just movies. It's also, like, if you think about his storytelling on stage with An Evening with Kevin Smith, or his storytelling, like, on his podcasts, or the fact that, like, his storytelling, like, made Southwest Airlines change their policy on overweight flyers, and, like, just all the shit that, like, I don't even know if that's the correct airline, but I'm just saying, like, the fact that he's able to, like, get people to listen to him talking about the things that he's passionate about or whatever, or angry about or whatever. Yeah.
I think it's all of those, right? Like, I see Tom Cruise running and I'm immediately just, like, into that at that time.
Yeah.
And anytime that Kevin Smith is doing some storytelling, that is a trait of his that you are attached to.
Right.
So I think it can be any of those things.
Okay, perfect.
I don't even know if I'm using this right, but this draft is meta?
Yeah.
I might sound stupid.
It's all about Facebook and Instagram and Threads. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I probably got that wrong, but whatever, it sounds cool.
World peace, everybody.
Yep.
Metal World Peace was the greatest.
Oh, he's the best. Still loved it when he was Ron Artest. He applied for a job when he got an NBA contract so he could get a discount on a TV. What a fucking dude.
Dude, when he fucking fought people in the stands.
Fantastic.
Dude, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Drew, take your pick.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with a young man, a person that has inspired me in the past. And when I was doing this thing, it was very much a thing of inspiration for me. And I'm going Freddie Mercury as a front man.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. Like, it's honestly, it's kind of hard to watch fucking Queen videos these days and not, like, have that outlet. You know what I mean? Like, I watch it and I'm just like, fuck, I want to be on stage. Like, yeah, it was always something that, you know, I always got ideas from it. And, like, I ripped off his fucking half microphone thing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he was just, like, in his command of the crowd. Like, that was always something that, you know, kind of strove for.
Yeah.
When doing that.
It was kind of wrestling in a weird sort of way.
It very much was.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean, it was entertainment, like, for sure.
Well, it was, wrestlers.
It was pro entertainment.
Yeah. Because it was also getting the fans in your hand.
Yeah.
And being able to control how loud they get when they stop, like, you can control everything. And that's got to feel like the coolest fucking thing in the world when you have everybody in your hands. You're like the puppeteer, but you got no, like, you know.
Yeah, dude, there's the Queen at Wembley, like their actual thing, not the Live Aid thing.
Right.
But
there's
that one where he's just fucking doing the call and response.
Yep.
Hey! And, you know, they're coming back and like it's fucking amazing to watch like one guy just command like 80,000 people like that.
Yeah.
And not to like.
That's got to feel so fucking cool.
March onto the battlefield. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's just.
But then to
like
get
it's for
ridiculously
fun.
High in voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome, man.
No, he's the fucking man.
Hell yeah.
I've watched, you know, sometimes I'll get on runs where I like to watch some live shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'll occasionally throw that on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just fun to like, and again, like just seeing people at the top of their craft.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my next pick, and it's another. It's a fucking rabbit hole I go down, maybe once a year, and it's watching. Like, look, I'm not a big NFL guy, but you fucking put a fucking 20 in that Hawaiian blue on there, and I'm gonna fucking watch some Barry Sanders videos for.
Yeah,
I don't,
Barry
as
Sanders
long as it'll
jump
play.
Cut.
Dude, yeah.
Yep, I had this one as well. The Barry Sanders jump cut,
like. Watching him just fucking turn a fucking 3-yard loss into a 70-yard touchdown is fucking amazing.
Hell yeah.
It was like watching a ball inside of a pinball machine not touch the sides.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's just like, it gets, you're just like, where did it go? And the next thing you know, it's fucking, oh, there it is. I'm not catching that.
It's spinning around and it's going out the other way. Dude. I'm with you. This was one of my favorite athletes growing up because, like, and I tried to, like, when I'd play street football, I would try to emulate, like, the Barry Sanders, like, moves and all that kind of stuff because, like, he was just the most fun running back I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He never won a Super Bowl, did he?
No.
That sucks.
He went out on top and he still had a lot left in the tank.
Yeah.
No. It's like a what could have been, but it's also possibly the greatest running back of all time. Right. So, like, if you're what could have been is one of the best to ever do it, that's pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I read that was always the thing. It's like, man, imagine what he could do with an offensive line.
Yeah. And a quarterback.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, it's such a good pick.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was a very good pick. I'm going to go with a goat, too. And I could take this guy's fadeaway jumper, but I'm going to take his drive. And I'm going Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's drive. His will to win.
Yeah.
Let's say if will to win. I don't know. Let's say domination.
Yeah.
I put Michael Jordan will to winmanship.
Will to winmanship. It's pretty insane. Yeah. Like a dude like him, not like he wants to win so much that he's competing in every aspect of life, like, and all the way down to like a gambling addiction because he can't stop fucking competing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he literally like all the way to the NBA Hall of Fame. And he's got the jersey behind me. He was always my favorite growing up, but this dude, to his NBA Hall of Fame speech, blew out the coach that cut him in 10th grade. That's how fucking petty this guy is.
I know, dude.
Blew out the guy to let him know,
yeah,
remember when you cut me? I'm an NBA Hall of Famer now.
Yeah.
Like, that is the pettiest thing of all time. You know, I would take it like that guy. Yeah, I'll take the free trip. Even if I know that you're just trying to dunk on me in front of a live audience who no one knows who I am.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that guy already lived in infamy because that's like a story that like almost everyone who knows just Jordan's name knows. Oh, you know,
Laney High School.
10th grade. Yeah.
That's right. Laney High School.
Yeah. So that dude does live in infamy, and it's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny idea to have that guy.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'll tell you what, dude, like, all of that pettiness, he took that and, like, turned it into the energy that he needed to fucking win. Yeah. Like, it's fucking insane. And, if you watch that,
Last Dance.
The Last Dance. I mean, it's like all over that. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's fucking. It's one of those like where it's like, fuck yeah, like, dude, you hear those stories and you're just like, yeah, that's gonna be me.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, and I, you know, I don't. And some of it, like, you know, you see that shit pop up on like reels and stuff, and it's just like every time you hear one of these stories, you're like, God damn, it's this guy.
Yeah. Just
before the games, he was playing fucking dice with the janitor, trying to win more money.
Yeah,
I mean, what a fucking sicko.
Well, and like the way that he would get into his people's heads, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the teams that he was playing against. Like, I remember that Dominic. I think I've talked about this before, but I'll talk about it again because it's so fucking awesome. Is Dominic Wilkins talking about like they're playing the Bulls? They're playing the Bulls, and they're in Atlanta, and all of a sudden Jordan is walking up and down their locker room. They're all in there getting fucking ready for the game, and Jordan's like, Jordan just looks at everybody and says, "Lace them up tight, boys. It's gonna be a long night." Just like before the game, why is Jordan even in their room? You know what I mean? And I just think that's hilarious.
Yeah, well, he would take it would be one of those things where you don't want to say anything because someone would be like, yeah, I think he's a good player. And then he'd be like, who's that? Oh, he didn't say I was great. Oh, he thinks I'm garbage. Oh, I'm going to go score 50 on him.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I said you were a good player.
He creates the motivation inside his own head. I fucking love it, dude. That's insane.
Yep.
That's an insane trait.
Jordan
could have been a serial killer or he could have been the GOAT of basketball. You know, like, he chose correctly.
Man. Okay, so I'm going to change up my strategy now, seeing how you guys went. You guys went a different, like, my Tom Cruise running almost feels weird now. But you know what? This is like, this is going to be all over the place. I want it to be stuff that like made me feel things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go, I'm going to go with, go to music and go with like a delivery. It's a flow. It's a voice. It's the delivery of this guy. And this guy can make anybody feel things. And I know this from evidence when I used to just have like CDs and stuff in the car. I left this in the CD and, my wife was like listening and she's like, you can't, she like realized it after. She's like, they said I was being like, kind of like aggressive or whatever. So I'm taking DMX.
Oh shit.
Oh yeah.
This dude will make you feel things, with how he's delivering everything. And like all of a sudden it kind of gets you like, yeah, what? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
You get like that and you're like from just listening to him do his thing. And like, you get this kind of swagger. That's also like, do not fuck with me.
Yeah.
And you mash those things up and you feel like super powerful in a way of like nobody's messing with me. Today. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I do.
I think like, honestly, in some of Denzel's roles, I think he took from DMX.
Oh, for sure. I bet you he would, like, put that in his ears and hype himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you listen to DMX, that's how you will feel no matter who you are
you
listening to.
You become a rough rider, you know? Like, yeah.
Even when he's smooth with it, it's crazy. Like, even if he's smooth with it, you're just like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just feel that thing. So he makes you feel something. So, yeah, I'm going... I'll just say DMX delivery.
All right.
And then I like not feeling like boxed in, right? That's mm-hmm. the thing that probably I hate feeling the most is when I feel like boxed in and I can't just feel a little bit more free. Weirdly, it kind of goes back to the sweet rap. But so like, I like free flowing stuff where people are just like in their bag and like getting into flow state. And one of the things, no matter how you feel about him or whatever, that I love watching, because this dude plays like he's in this flow state and very freeing, especially when he is dribbling the ball. So I'm going Kyrie Irving dribbling.
Oh, like ball handling? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, his ball handling is just like,
it is very fluid.
Yeah. They call it like being on a rope, having the ball on a rope. And when he's dribbling around and doing this stuff, it's just like, it's like you're watching like Harlem Globetrotters or And One, but it's in the league and it's even more skilled.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying, right? He's not even doing anything like he's trying. It's just, it's like the ball cannot go away from his hand like Tommy Smothers with a yo-yo.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Smother a brother, you know?
Yeah. But, like, that's how Kyrie is dribbling the ball. And I don't know, seeing that in person and somebody, like, watching all that movement and like the freedom of it is like, it's a kind of cathartic in a weird sort of way.
Well, yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I agree. Yeah. It's like watching like a waterbender, you know what I mean? It's like just smooth.
Yeah.
And like it flows and like one end doesn't stop and the
you
other,
wanna know,
you know,
you want to know why he's, well, not why, but like how, you know, he's so good.
Oh.
When someone asks Allen Iverson who's the best ball handler of all time, without thinking, he says Kyrie Irving.
Oh, shit.
That's Allen Iverson.
Hell yeah.
And he could end up on this list at some point. But this is just overall Kyrie Irving ball handling. It's very freeing. And I like that.
Yeah, I do too. I think Kyrie is underappreciated right now, and I think that he'll become more appreciated in the future.
Yeah, it's one of those things where people will watch it and be like, holy shit, this was like poetry in motion.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's art.
Yeah.
Kind of like when you go back and watch like Jason Williams clips.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he was underappreciated during his time.
You know? For sure.
Yeah.
It's all about giving people that can do that kind of shit freedom.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing is letting those guys free. So.
Oh, yeah.
What you got, James?
All right, here we go. Let's see here. Okay.
Okay.
When I think of, I always fancied myself a comedian, even though I'm not necessarily that anymore. But I still, like, love comedy, and I studied it very hard. And I still, you know, to this day, I'm a big fan of stand-up comedy. And I just feel like this guy specifically is like the king of joke craft in the sense that he studied all the guys before him and just the whole idea of like the everyday jokes that he creates and the setup punchline mentality that he has, that he lives his entire life, set up punchline. So I'm going joke craft, Jerry Seinfeld, because I think Jerry Seinfeld is one of those guys that like every instance of his existence is how can I make a joke from that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is. And he's very like almost rigid in a way. In the sense that, like, this is what my comedy is. Like, he knows exactly what his comedy is and exactly what he's going to do. And everything that he does is comedy.
He's somebody I didn't appreciate till much later in life because similar to, like, this is going to be a weird comparison. But similar to, like, Tupac and Biggie, I was, like, a Tupac guy. So then I didn't grow to appreciate Biggie enough until, like, way later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like a Friends guy, so I didn't appreciate Seinfeld and Jerry Seinfeld enough until later on. And then really what even took it like next level is just the conversations he had in Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Exactly.
And you could see that's 100% always where his mind went, was like, how do we get this to a joke or whatever? And and the people that vibed with it is like the coolest thing ever. But then, like, he would even have stuff where he was so sure in himself. Like, somebody, there was, like, a celebrity that came up to try to take a picture with him. I don't know if you saw this.
Kesha.
And yeah. And he was like, oh, that's Kesha. He's like, I don't know. He's like, can I take a picture with you? No, you can't. but, like, yeah, there's, I get what you're saying, like, about the joke craft just kind of getting to see it in real time with like the comedians show. Like,
Yeah.
Well, and I remember a couple years ago, he was on Marin too. And it was kind of funny. I mean, obviously there's more than one way to skin a cat when it comes to comedy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, Mark was talking about like, you know, how he's doing more, like he does more of the personal story. Like, and Jerry was just very about like, he's like, yeah, but where's the joke?
Yeah.
Like he basically makes it to where it's almost like BPM, right? But it's like jokes per minute. Like he knows when he wants to hit, and like there's not like he's not gonna take you on that long thing because he wants people laughing. Like that's the end goal, which I think is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's helped the show age like fine wine too, because
yeah.
It doesn't get aged out because the show about nothing can literally be everyday life.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's actually helped age the show like amazingly.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally was just watching it. Like I was sitting in my house 2 days ago and I'm thinking, what am I going to watch? I don't really have anything I'm into right now. And I'm sifting
that's the perfect show.
Sifting through fucking everything. And next thing you know, I'm watching fucking Seinfeld again.
Yeah.
You know?
When you don't feel like watching anything, it's the perfect show.
Yeah.
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 As weird as that sounds.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. I love Jerry. I think that's cool. I think him and Larry David were like made for each other. That's a match made in absolute heaven, and that's probably why that show like did what it did, just because it's like they're kind of the same person in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
So
I like that.
Hell yeah.
Drew.
All right. I'm gonna go with In my own life, I like to, you talking about being boxed, right? Like, it kind of reminded me of that, where there are times where I'm just like I feel nothing weighs me down more than like being like feeling like I'm just part of the crowd or whatever, right? So like one thing that makes like has always, and this is why this guy always resonated with me, is because of he fucking breaks out of that. And I'm saying ODB.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So like ODB's fucking, I don't know what you would call it. Like
aura.
Yeah. His aura, his like, absurdity. Like,
I like,
you know,
that. ODB, yeah. Absurdity.
Yeah. Yeah, like, like it kind of remind, like I listen to him and like, don't get me wrong, like he's fucking funny, dude. Like he's, yeah, you know, he what is. I mean, like, and it's just, I don't know, like I listen to him and I get like way more out of him, because the reason I relate to him is because like of that absurdity. And it's just like, it reminds me not to fucking take anything too fucking serious, like in like, I don't know, there's like there's this one song where he's, it's Build Me Up, like they're, it's him and fucking Macy Gray.
Yeah,
first of all, two of the
Macy's
two of the strangest voices together, like on a thing. But he's like, yeah. And like, I don't know, like I fucking love that song, but it's a, why do you build me up? Oh, so good.
Yeah, dude, I love this pick too, because like it was kind of what you wanted to feel like growing up. Like, I had this album, sixth grade, carried it around with me the whole time, all that, like Return to the 36 Chambers. And there was just something about him that like made me feel good. Like, I could just be whatever I wanted to be and be as weird as I wanted to be, like in that moment. And like, I started calling people dirty, and then it like flipped back on me. And in my seventh grade yearbook, 75% of the comments say, "Hey, dirty," instead of "Hey, Andy." And they flipped it back on me somehow. But, at the same time, I didn't mind it so much, because it kind of all stemmed from ODB, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right.
Yeah, and then my next one is, it's a bit of a new one, and I hope this guy I fucking hope he lasts, because when people like this who play like he plays, a lot of times it's an injury thing. And I'm going to go with, dude, I love fucking watching this fucking young kid, Ellie De La Cruz, play baseball. Like, he plays baseball like with a fucking, he just had a fucking inside the park home run tonight. Like, the dude is like nonstop. He plays like a fucking kid. He plays like he's still trying to get a fucking contract. Like, yeah. I fucking love it, man. Like, it's the way, like, I always loved the fucking, like, when I could play, like, I always loved to play. Like, that's, like, you can tell he just has that fucking, that heart that just won't stop. So, so that's what I'm going to go with. Like, again, maybe it's the same thing as that drive, but it's also, like, the way he plays and just has fucking fun.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know, they always, that's the thing, right? It's like baseball's a kid's game. Like, it really is. And like, he plays like he's a fucking kid, and I fucking love it.
And he's like the MLB version of Icebox from Little Giants.
Yeah, I guess.
No, I get what you're saying. It's just fun to watch him do his thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you can, like, that's one thing I love is like watching the people that like you can tell have fun. Like that Miguel Cabrera was like that. Like that dude always fucking had fun. You know, this is a guy who would fucking like steal people's chips as he was over like on the first baseline, right? So like, but yeah, man, like same thing, like, and like doing it at a fucking level that is like top of the fucking line.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Just being able to, I know this isn't exactly what you picked, but being able to kind of just have fun in your craft.
Yeah.
You know, what did you draft? Ellie De La Cruz, youthful exuberance?
Yes. Yeah. Let's call it that. I like that. I like that. Fuck it. That's because it is. It's like, I don't know. I try to do that. Like I said, kind of with the ODB thing, right? It's just like everything's fun. There's, I always think of this, fuck, maybe I shouldn't. I won't say that because that's okay.
That's another pick.
Yeah, it's another pick.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, back to me. Let's see here.
Youthful exuberance.
All right.
That's so much stuff, yeah.
It's the reason I don't feel 40, you know what I mean?
I agree. I agree with that.
Okay, with this, I'm going to go with voice.
Voice.
I'm going to go with voice, and I'm going to say, I'm going to go with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because if you think about, like, the most recognizable voice on Earth, I feel like this is the one that transcends age gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Transcends everything. Like, everyone knows who Arnold is. Not only that, like, especially in the world, Arnold is from another country. So, like,
Austria.
Yeah, he's from Austria in America. So he's like, he's worldwide. He's a, like,
yeah,
he's the real Mr. Worldwide.
He really is. And like you could do a bad impression of Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice, and people know exactly who you're trying to impersonate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He even has a commercial right now where they're like, no, it's this.
Yeah, and which I like, think is stupid.
Neighbor.
Yeah.
Not neighbor.
I actually hate that commercial. I wish Arnold
was like a good neighbor.
I wish Arnold would just like straight punch the guy and be like, it's neighbor. Just...
I don't even know this commercial. Like, it sounds stupid.
State Farm.
It is a state.
It sounds like a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a tangent, but I remember watching something like after the Super Bowl this year, and they're like, you remember when Super Bowl commercials was like, it was a chance for people to like really show their creativity, and now it's just like, hey, what celebrity can we get to put in our commercial?
Yeah.
But, and dude, like, okay, I get that. Like, his voice is like that's like, I guess, more on the game of what we're playing. But like, the dude is a fucking inspiration as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course.
Like it. What an insane fucking story that is. Like,
yeah.
Like the guy. Like, I haven't watched the thing, but like from what I understand, like that his little documentary, like basically he was like, I want to be a leading man, and they were like, no. And he was like, no, I'm going to be a leading man.
Yeah.
like this guy doesn't speak English, thinks he wants to be the fucking leading man, becomes a leading man.
Yeah.
Like, fucking marries a Kennedy. Like, foreign born becomes a fucking governor of a state in a country that he wasn't even fucking born in. Like, it's fucking insane, man.
I know, dude.
Mr. fucking Olympian.
Arnold, his list of achievement is like beyond anything.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to the fact that everybody, if Arnold walks into a room, people are like, is Arnold here? Everyone's going to turn. Everyone knows. Yeah. Kids, babies are born with the knowledge of what Arnold's voice is.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the other thing, which is the difference in some of action stars today. Well, there's not the same. There's not the biggest ones. There might be more because more people can do more things. But there's not like an Arnold Schwarzenegger for action. Like, even if you look at like The Rock, like Arnold had that signature voice and he could spin it to whatever movie he was doing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really think of a lot of the action guys over the last 20 or 30 years of having like a thing outside of like Tom Cruise running, but I'm talking about like your big action stars.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, big as in size, you know. There's not really that thing that Arnie had back in the day.
Yeah. There isn't. I mean, the closest is like maybe like the Marvel people, you know what I mean?
But even then it's just like not
Chris Hemsworth, maybe.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, there's nobody that's or actually no, I'm sorry, Conor McGregor in the latest fucking Roadhouse movie. Just about fucking 5 feet shorter.
But like, that's what you were going to see is Arnie, the voice, like just the aura, even though we said it for someone earlier, of Arnold. You just wanted to see every movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
It was amazing.
I'm going to go... number four, I'm going to go one that like probably should have been my top, Ali and the Gift of Gabmanship. This dude, man, he was like,
did you watch the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Not all of it, but yeah.
I mean, it's like every time you hear that story of him, you're just like, dude, this guy is the fucking greatest. Like,
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he fought like who's who. He didn't like duck. He like went for it every time. But like, here's the thing about Ali when he was on the mic. He inspired like so much. Like, you think about like, boxing or UFC or wrestling, people cutting like promos inspired from Ali. Ali was almost like a battle rapper in a lot of ways, and how he would say things. Ali was also like part stand-up comedian with some of the just the funny shit that he said that was like, what is this dude talking about? So he like inspired all of these different things in all of these different genres, and like, it was all like based on like confidence in saying whatever the hell he wanted to. And there's something about being able to kind of do that on the fly and like, you know, just all of the quotes. If you even dream of beating me, you better wake up and apologize. Like, that shit that hits hard in 2024. Yeah. This dude was like, I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with a whale. I've done handcuffed lightning and thrown thunder in jail. You know I'm bad. Just last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. What? Like,
that's legit.
Man, I hope to say something that good one day. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's the GOAT, man. He's the best to ever do it. And like I said, he inspired so many different professions by, you know, his gift of gabmanship.
I think you're close to achieving it.
Yeah.
Because you did like, use verbatim in your sweet rap. So,
did, and like,
fucking close.
Like, they, you know, they, his wife said it was like this, he also came in a time where black people were not supposed to talk.
Right.
And he talked, he wouldn't shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like it was just that fuck you to the man. Like it was.
Yeah. Fucking great. Yeah. Like literally, like, yeah, you'd have who I respect immensely. He's one of my favorite athletes ever. Part of the reason I became a Dodgers fan for a while growing up. But Jackie Robinson, it was like, come in, do my job, take all the fucking venom and, you know, just put on a good front. Mm-hmm. Even though on the backside of me, it's like, it's haunting me not to like go off.
Yeah.
Ali was just like, no, fuck you. This is who I am. You're going to love me. And you can't tell me you don't love me because I know you love me. Like, that's some wild shit to be, you know, saying, coming to the table with, you know?
Yeah.
They want to hate you. They want so badly to hate you, but they can't help but love you.
That's right.
That's fucking power.
Speaking of power.
That's why they call him a PF flyer. Power fucker Kevin Aldridge.
What does PF stand for?
Pussy fart.
Power fucker.
Do you know, like, is that, are either of those real?
No, it's
they're both real things, yes.
But I can grab it. It's like Posture Foundation or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't know until I got the shoes, and it says like on the inside is like Posture Foundation. Yeah.
Which, by the way, you took your own Benny the Jet with Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Dudes.
I've got a couple. So. First?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the one I want to talk about, and this is all because of young Andrew Liner over here. I haven't got a chance to talk about it on here yet. Fucking Rye Lane.
Oh.
Dude, I loved that movie. It was so good. It was such the romantic comedy that I wanted to see. It had like, I told you, it was like Garden State vibes, like no fucking other. Like,
yeah.
The little adventure they go on, like trying to get that fucking Tribe album back, and like it just kind of reminded me of like looking for the fucking his mom's necklace or whatever.
I
don't know, it was so damn good, and I don't know, man, it would definitely be high on my list of fucking movies from last year.
Yeah, it's fucking incredible. I suggest anybody go see it. It just, like you said, Garden State, it gives you those same vibes, and it just makes you feel good. And you want to root for the two in there. And it's like also like going through it like Garden State, that's the style of shit I like, where they're just going through the day, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Shit like the pizza movie with you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
Yeah. God, what the fuck? All I'm thinking is Mystic Pizza, and that's not it. But I know it just came out like 2 or 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. Then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that same kind of thing. God, why? Cooper Hoffman. That's his name. Licorice Pizza.
Licorice Pizza, yeah.
Yeah, Licorice Pizza. So, and this is that kind of thing where like you're just going through there like kind of day, and it's fun, man. It's mm-hmm. just so fun.
Yeah. And then also the Palm Royale on fucking Apple, the Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney, Laura Dern, Carol Burnett. It's fucking like it takes place in like late 60s, I think it's 69. And it's Kristen Wiig plays this kind of like person that's trying to get into this exclusive club. It's not like overly funny, but I love the little bit. Like Carol Burnett is basically like, from what I've seen the first five episodes. So like the first three, she's kind of catatonic.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's like slowly coming out of it. And like just the shit like that she does is just so fucking funny. Like the part like where she's like trying to talk. And she's like, "So are you hungry?" And she's like, "Oh." And she's like, "All right, we'll get some stuff later." like it's just, I don't know. Like it's such a good show.
This looks really cool.
Yeah.
I love just Carol Burnett.
Yeah. It kind of, I want to say, it kind of has like White Lotus vibes, but not like to the extreme that White Lotus is, but it kind of has that feel.
Is this, so would you say this is like one of those like just enjoyable TV series to get through? Like you're just like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to put on Palm Royale. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, I think so. It's like I said, it's not like overtly a comedy, but it is, you know, it's got its parts. I mean, it's a fucking who's who as far as like comedians go. So
lighthearted humor.
Fucking Ricky Martin is in it. Ah, he's like one of the main characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me some Ricky Martin.
Yeah. No shit. I was like, damn, that's, dude still looks as good as he did in 1999. It's crazy.
He hasn't been living too living loca lately.
Nope.
Mm. I got to move. You know what? This is kind of backwards.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. I don't know. I got a movie. And I actually reached out to Wes. I was like, dude, have you seen this? Because I was like, I'm going to launch it tonight for Raven Sheedy for you guys. But I don't know if you guys have seen this. Destroy All Neighbors.
Mm-mm.
It's like some Shudder original, but it's Alex Winter in it. Yeah. And there's this guy that basically is like trying to finish this prog rock album, and he's like all into it. And it's a fucking wild movie. He accidentally kills a guy, and the guy kind of comes back, and he keeps like killing different people that are coming back. But it's a comedy. It's like a horror comedy thing, but it feels very like 80s.
Okay.
And like, yeah, it's just fucking amazing. Like, for instance, okay, so here's the scene. You ruined my life. I ruined your life, asshole. You decapitated me. Well, he's got you there, man. It's fucking wild, man. It's just, it's sick. It's gross. It's funny. It's fucking like just amazing. Who was it?
Jonah Ray is the main character.
Oh yeah. And it kind of gave me a little bit of like Ghoulies vibes in a bit. And then like what Wes said, it gave him vibes was the movie Freaked, which also had Alex Winter in it. I hadn't seen Freaked, so I'm excited to see Freaked. So there you go. You get a twofer. Destroy All Neighbors and then Freaked. Both have Alex Winter in it.
Hell yeah, I'm definitely gonna check this out.
It's fucking incredible. It's 100% up what both of you would love. It's like the best, so much so, I will say this. Whatever, I'll put it on the podcast. I almost sent you guys a text message. I was like, we should write something like this.
Hell yeah.
There's a dude in it that also gives vibes, Drew, from Biff from Self-Reliance.
Oh, okay.
So there's a dude that gives those same exact vibes in this movie. It's just, oh my God.
Kumail.
Alex Winter looks a little bit like Fat Bastard in Goldmember. yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Kumail Nanjiani has a
yeah, he's got a cameo in it.
Fucking A.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Thomas Lennon is in it.
Who wrote and directed it?
Directed by Josh Forbes, written by Mike Benner, Jared Logan, and Charles A. Pieper? P-I-E-P-E-R. How would you say that? Piper or Pieper?
Piper.
That's Pieper. All right.
Yeah, it almost, like, it weirdly sounds like it could have been, like, directed by Chris Hardwick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those are all his people.
His
all
tropes his boys. And his yeah. people.
Oh, he was backstage, I'm sure.
Yeah, because he always, I know, like, I remember, you know, towards the end, like he was always, like, people were always like, no, you should direct a fucking horror movie. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the perfect mixture of, like, horror, gross out comedy, or, yeah, gross out and comedy, like, mm-hmm. all mixed together. It's perfect. It's also one that probably 6 out of 10 people would be like, what the fuck? This is the worst shit I've ever seen, which almost makes it even better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you just don't get it. It's fine. But, like, I say that in a good way. Like, oh, you don't get it. I feel bad that you don't get it. But, like, it also makes it more mine. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
What do you got, James?
Shit, what do I have? Okay, I have something. I went to the... I was never really a big fan of Salvador Dali.
Oh.
Like, back in the day. But seeing his art live in person, I went to the Dali Museum in St. Hell Petersburg, yeah. Florida. And seeing his art live in person, it kind of changed my. I mean, I don't know if I really had an opinion before, but I feel like now maybe I have an opinion that I do like Dali. You know what I mean?
I feel like you had an opinion before.
I feel like I didn't think I fucked with Dali, but now I think I do.
You were just like fucking clocks guy.
I think
it's because, like,
all that melty shit. What is a guy in acid? I don't give a fuck. What is this, a bunch of hippie shit?
Well,
and you're like, yeah,
mine's probably just more open.
That's,
you know,
true.
Like,
I mean, this is me viewing Dali post marijuana,
right?
Whereas I viewed Dali before pre marijuana. So this
you're like, oh, I get what he was saying.
James 2.0, you know,
exactly. Yeah. Well, Dali also, like, he's almost like the father of pop art. You know, I feel like Andy Warhol type of guys wouldn't exist if Dali didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 100%.
And
surrealism.
Yeah. And, like, the one that captured me, the painting that captured me the most was, I can't remember the name of it. It's hard to remember names of things.
Was it like the clocks that are dripping?
No, it's the one. He has a few of these paintings that are considered masterworks. They're paintings that he, giant fucking like wall-sized paintings that he painted.
Yeah.
And there's like 20 of them known to exist. And like 5 or 6 of them are in this Dali Museum. And the one that I love the most is if you walk up to it close up, It's an image of Dali's wife looking through this like cross that's broken out of a wall of blocks, and like it's almost like you can see heaven on the other side of the wall. Mm. But then also in the very bottom left corner is a small square image of Abraham Lincoln. But it's like pixelated, right?
Yeah.
So then if you back way the hell up and you look at the image from very far away, the image of his wife looking into heaven looks like Abraham Lincoln in the corner of the foot of the image. So like it's the whole image creates the Abraham Lincoln image
That's different, crazy.
Viewing angles. So like, I don't know. I just feel like that kind of shit, the fact that he like mixed science with religion, and he was very interested in the scientific side of things. It was very interesting to me. I like Dolly. I am now a Dolly fan.
I'll tell you what. A nice trip to an art museum, if it's good art,
yeah,
is fucking awesome.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
But if it's shitty art and it's boring, it's also the worst time ever.
It can be the worst time ever, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like, I like that shit. I like Warhol. I like David LaChapelle. Do you know who that is?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Banksy.
I think you told me about David LaChapelle. I think you brought him up
on the podcast. I think you brought it up on the podcast before. Yeah.
I probably have, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, some, like, super art guy, but, like, if art's fucking awesome,
yeah,
like, and weird and all that kind of stuff, I like it a lot.
Hell yeah. I think I'm going to consider myself a Dolly fan now, and,
yeah.
Yeah, I would really like to get an image of that image in my house somewhere. I'll have to work on that, but, yeah.
I see it, on Etsy.
Hell yeah.
So
they were selling them there for like fucking just a canvas print of the image for like $625. And I was like, I'm sorry, what now?
This is $11.
That's perfect. See, that's the kind of prices we're looking for, Dolly Museum.
There you go. Unless, put it in the chat.
Unless you fucking reincarnated Salvador Dolly and had him hand paint this repainting of the image. Then go fuck yourself for $625.
Dude, I'll pay him $600 if they bring him back from the dead and he paints it in front of my face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the one you're talking about that I sent?
Let me see.
Dude, from the back, she looks like Audrey Hepburn.
No, that's not the one, but this painting. Is this the one? Is this what you sent me? The one with all the people with the guns aiming at each other on the bottom right?
Oh, yeah.
So those, the people down there with the guns aiming, and then they create the geometric shapes. It's supposed to signify, because this was like about the time that they realized that people had DNA. So when this painting was made. So he made this to represent this the discovery of the DNA strands.
Huh.
And it's people pointing guns at each other.
That's wild. They're Spider-Man memeing before Spider-Man meme.
Exactly.
Just doing it with guns instead of pointing. We've gotten so soft.
But that is one of his masterworks. You were right there.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. Thought a lot about this one. I also wanted a comedian on the squad. And I kind of went to a lot of places. He's one of my favorites of just like watching work through his mind, which is kind of a different thing than on stage. I would argue this isn't necessarily an on stage guy. It's a literally every time he talks guy. So I'm going to take the mind of Norm Macdonald.
Oh,
fuck, dude. That was going to be one of mine.
That's really good. I have him written down too.
Fuck. Mine was going to be like, my fucking brain thesaurus isn't working, but like his, like, stick-to-itiveness of a fucking joke, where, like, his ability to fucking just, like just out-punch you with one single joke You know what I mean? It's just like he'll sit in the fucking awkwardness. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
The one girl that was sitting there and he was like giving shit the whole time. And then she's like, Conan's like, what movie were you in? This is young Conan. And she's like, chairman of the board. And he's like, aha, do something with that. And he said, is it spelled B-O-R-E-D?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's that. And I think about like the mindset of like being so young at heart and into the joke, kind of like what you were mentioning about Seinfeld. But also being so young at heart, but being so fucking brilliant and smart that you can figure out how to work these things. Like his biggest thing for me was someone who can set up, like, you know what I'm saying? Set up the punchline or the presentation as the punchline, basically. Like he gives you the joke up front.
Yeah.
Like and then goes back around and like that's ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I actually had him written down too. Like I had Jerry written down as joke craftsmanship, but then I had Norm written down as joke telling. So like his ability to tell the joke and like what Drew said, sit within it, and just like he doesn't care if the audience is into it or not because at some point he knows they will be. But in it, like he's got zero uncomfortability on stage.
Yeah.
When you see literally, it's a weird thing to say, but you can see in his eyes the joke getting crafted.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you can almost see like a little glint in his eye, like oh, there it is
when
like,
it hits.
Yeah. There it is, dude. Yeah. It's like the funniest thing too is like the shit like that interview where he was on The View. And he was just like, yeah, the Clintons, they murdered that guy. And they're like, what? They're like, yeah, they had the guy murdered. And they're like, you can't say that. Like, he's like, wow, that's the thing. Like, they murdered a guy.
That's what I'm saying. He's so, like, brilliant. He'll get all these different things. But then he's, like, a five-year-old in, like, his approach. Like, he does not give a shit what you think about it as long as he thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so hard to get that now.
Yeah, man. That was going to be...
Like, just because, like, his mind is so fucking free. You know? Which I guess that's kind of the theme I got going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, James.
All right, here we go. So, like... Okay. This is something that, like, I feel like... you know, I don't know if I want to go with this. Because it's not something that really exists anymore. Maybe I'll save this for honorable mention. I'm going to go with Steph Curry. And I'm going
with... Okay, I had that one. Yeah.
I'm going with just the shot. The shotsmanship.
Yeah.
The dude is a fucking... He's a precision machine.
Yeah.
He's... Yeah, it's fucking amazing. I mean, just even just like the fact that we went to an Orlando Magic game like early together just so that we could see Steph Curry warm up. Like people don't fucking do that. You know what I mean? Like, so and it's specifically, specifically because Steph Curry's warming up. Let's get there early.
Yeah. Well, there's something like crazy about watching somebody that literally you know has influenced what the future of that craft is.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And seeing it like in person, being like, holy shit, like this literally changed the game of basketball as a whole.
Yeah.
For not only dudes, but for women too, because you watch Caitlin Clark and
exactly
Paige Buckers and like all of these ladies too. So like literally, because you can't, like, you cannot like grow up as a normal person, watch LeBron and be like, I could do that.
Yeah.
Like, you're not being realistic.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. Like, LeBron is a fucking monster. Like,
you can watch Steph Curry and say, I can do that. The thing is, you can't, though, because, like, he's got the, like, the quickest, fastest, prettiest, everything release. He's the best shooter of all time. Like, the same way, but, like, people feel they can be that thing. But, yeah. Like, it's just... it's ridiculous to see it in real time, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's fucking muscle memory, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got that ball handling too, you know what I mean? Like, on top of it, so.
Well, he's got the cutting, like, how quick he fucking cuts and plants and then puts it up. It's like, I don't know. It's
Just even crazy the ability to get into an open position. Yeah, it's pretty insane. The way he fucking weaves in and out of everybody.
It's a lot of the, like, what we were talking about, like, just the freeness. And then even the joy that, like, Ellie De La Cruz, that Drew took. Like, it's both of those things. You know? He's combining the freedom, he's combining the will to win, and he's combining, like, the youthful exuberance all in one package, you know?
Hell yeah. He's the man. All right, Drew.
All right. Well, since, you know, Andy kind of took my Norm pick, I'm going to go with somebody that I maybe would have been on James's team. I don't know. But I picked her recently with Dead Redheads, and I'm going to go Lucy. Because of the, Curable Nets kind of doing the rounds of fucking, podcasts and things like that. I've heard a couple Lucy stories and like, again, I guess it's that bucking the system thing. Like, where she knew what she wanted and she fucking wasn't going to let anybody tell her no. And that's what I like really appreciate, and like her willingness to help others too. Like Carol said, like there was something where basically like, you know, she was very young and she met, oh shit, my mic just slipped. She met Lucy for the first time and Lucy was like, listen, kid. And she's like, she always called me kid. She's like, you ever need anything, you just let me know. And I think it was the beginning of the Carol Burnett show. She's told her like, hey, I'm doing this thing. And she was, I forget what she said she was doing, either like shooting a movie or something like that. And she was like, I'll be there tomorrow. Like dropped everything to come out there and just like help her because she knew having Lucille Ball attached to this project would fucking send her into another thing.
Yeah.
And like just that, like, and maybe that's even it, is the, you know, the mentorship, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like I really appreciate that. Those people who also fucking give back.
The mentor,
you know?
The mentormanship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mentor womanship.
Yeah. I mean, it's just mentorship. I don't think you need to add man or woman. But
tell me what I need to think.
Yeah, but I've heard a lot of that where she was always willing to help people out and like, you know, give back to comedy as much as it just, you know, she'd give it to it. So yeah.
Yeah, I like that because like I really fucking enjoy people like that. I try to be somebody like that where, you know, just in the everyday life or whatever, if I'm like, you know, how can I like help you get to where you want to get, like, because I'm always kind of like, okay, like if you think about it, if the first thing you say is like, how can I help you get to, you know, where you want to be as well,
yeah,
then that person's gonna ride extra hard for you, right?
Yeah,
And if things are going well and they're getting to where they want to get, it's probably helping you without you having to pay any focus on that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's like, how can I help you get to fucking where you want to be is, like, the best, because it's also the best feeling when they get to where they want to be.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, like with that, like, where you see somebody that or something in yourself in somebody, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, no, I can... This is my chance to take it to the next level. I'm too old for that shit, but this person, I don't know. I think that's really cool.
It is.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I hate this pick more than
anything. Well, you do have a steel card. I also interesting, and maybe you know this little fact, James. I didn't until I heard her talking about it. So every year, Lucy would send Carol Burnett flowers for her birthday, and I forget like what it was, whatever year Lucy passed away, it was actually on Carol Burnett's birthday that she passed away, and she said like she heard that she passed away and like on the news, and then when she got back to her house, the flowers were there from Lucy, like,
oh, wow.
even as she was about to like she still like sent her the flowers or whatever, which is fucking cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then my last pick, and I'm going to go with comedy again. And this is where I was like, I'm going to shut up because, I'm going to go with George Carlin philosophy.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Philosophy of friendship.
Exactly. You know, I think he was really the start of people. I mean, it's probably to a fault nowadays that people take fucking stand-up comedians so serious, but like, you know, when he was doing it, it was in such a way that he really, really fucking made people think about things, and like to the point that his clips are still being used today. And what I also think is awesome about it is like, there's like the fucking crazy right wing guys and then the crazy left wing guys.
Yeah.
They'll use the exact same clip to make their point.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's like, where are you going with this guy?
did you see that some people made an AI George Carlin special?
No.
George Carlin's family sued the AI company for creating the special, and basically they actually won a lawsuit against the AI company because of likeness or using his likeness or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were putting their own jokes with him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they made AI create a George Carlin special in George Carlin's voice with an AI created version of George Carlin speaking it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But their words.
Yeah. Well, it's AI's words.
Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Right. But
they basically chat GP to
special. And supposedly it was pretty funny, but they still won a lawsuit and it got taken down, and they also got told that they're never allowed to use George Carlin.
Right, George Carlin specials about babies being in a bar at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then it's fucking hilarious.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's not great.
No. But yeah, so the point I was going to make earlier was one thing that's always stuck with me, and I forget what special it was on, but he says something along the lines of anybody who sees life as more than entertainment has missed the point. And I fucking love that. Like, none of this is serious. Like, it's all like, I don't know. It's all a fucking joke. And that's the way we should all fucking take life. Like, nobody's truly immortal. Like, we're going to go and let's just, you know, YOLO, bro.
Yeah,
that's right.
YOLO, George Carlin.
Yep. His philosophy, fame, and ship.
Yep. That's right.
Yep. James,
Did Drake invent YOLO?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the idea has been there for a long time. He's just the first one that said that.
You only live once, that's a motto.
He clearly has some stake in its popular usage, considering he's responsible for its proliferation. That doesn't mean he has ownership over the term. So it was out there. I just don't think I ever heard YOLO before I heard Drake say it.
Yeah.
So maybe it just popularized it, yeah.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to take Drake.
Drake. Go for it.
That's actually not bad. Let's do that. I'll do Drake.
Oh, I still need another pick.
I'll do Drake and I'll do his proliferation. He's prolific.
That's right.
The prolific smanships. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even going to like talk any further about it because I just literally looked up to determine that proof from Google presented by an AI Google bot that Drake is prolific.
He's prolific, but what you just looked up was he's not the first person to use the term and cannot be contributed.
Yeah, but he's responsible. But Drew, he's responsible for its proliferation.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, do you though?
Yeah.
Because he's responsible for that.
Oh, man.
And plus, you know, you just said it. You're not even a Drake fan, and you just said it.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have said it if Drake didn't say it.
True.
You know?
Man, where do I go here?
Because I knew YOLO, and I didn't even know it was Drake for like 5 or 6 years.
But you probably heard somebody say it around the time that Drake...
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, after he made it popular, I knew, like, I heard of YOLO, but I just didn't... I didn't know it was...
You didn't realize it was him.
Yeah. So it's
Go ahead.
I was going to say, somebody who's not a fan still knows the term because of Drake. Like
because of his proliferation.
That's right.
Well, we go from
his prolificmanship
to passmanship. And I'm going Magic Johnson. The no-look pass.
His pass, hell yeah. Like,
there was, growing up, what I like to do is dribble, pass, and play defense. Like, I didn't even care to, like, shoot and shit like that. Like, because, like, growing up, like, I like to do, like, the different Jordan moves and stuff like that. But Magic Johnson passing was that generation, our generation, growing up's version of Steph Curry shooting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
Because you'd, like, dribble around, and I'd always want to, like, no-look people, like, and throw the ball. I hit several people in the face.
Drew, you don't even know how funny it is to see Andy on a basketball court. It is hilarious to me. Andy is, like, a little fucking boulder that just shoots all over the court and just, like, smashes into everybody. He just throws the ball anyway. Like when he says he hits people in the face, that's not a lie, dude. He no look passes. He literally no looks. Like he didn't even look to see where the no look was supposed to go. Like there's literally no look.
There's not even a look from the person receiving it.
Right.
Yeah. Why'd you say, my bad? And they'd be like, yeah, nice look.
It was always I loved it.
But there was something about it, though. Like, again, this freedom and this Lucy mentor womanship that we were talked about.
Yeah.
Where, like, passing is like setting other people up to score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I always liked, like, hey, we're winning together. If I'm passing you open and you're getting like easy shots and you're getting the buckets and you want the buckets, that's fine for me because I'd rather I'd rather get, like, in a game of 21, like, 6 assists, 7 assists, than I would get, like, 14 points.
Yeah.
Because, like, they want to play with me because, like, I'm out there playing defense, and then I'm throwing them open, so it's fun to play with me because, like, you know.
Oh, your team's always won, for sure.
You know, because, like, hey, like, I don't need the glory, like, I just want to, like, dish off to you and do some Magic Johnson shit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting, like, too, like, with like, all the Euro players joining the league, like, passing has become a much more popular thing now, too.
Yeah.
Like, and those Euro guys, those dudes pass. They know how to fucking no-look pass a ball like a motherfucker.
Dude.
They're hitting everybody in the face.
And, like, oh, man. Okay, so this is fucking cool. Whatever. We're just going to get right into the honorables. I'm going to get into my bag here. What's up?
Wait. Are we?
A 7.
Yeah, it's your 7. You know, James, Drew, and I haven't had
Drew,
seven.
You would have just let me go. But with Andy, you fucking stop him, and I was like waiting for him to do it.
Here's the thing. You know what fucked me up is because Drew, with the George Carlin philosophy manship, said with my last pick.
Oh,
I don't think I said with my last pick.
Yeah, rewind.
Let's go to the tape.
See, I told you. You fucking said it.
Well, any other time, Drew would have let me like look like an asshole. Yeah. But with you, he's like, Andy, hey now. Drew, what up with that?
I was actually like trying to figure it out in this moment too. Because I'm like, wait, I'm pretty sure I only have 6.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And I'm pretty sure before you went, I said, oh, I still have another pick.
Well, Andy
did
also
say that, Andy, but I was like, oh, is he saying like honorables? No, he's got 3, but I didn't want to tell you.
The best
you don't want to tell me that I actually have 3 picks?
4.
Yeah.
The best thing about
are 3 honorables? You thought I only needed 1 honorable?
The best thing about this whole thing is Andy is keeping track of the picks, and he's got the board sitting right in front of him. And I'm looking at it, too, because I'm watching him update it, like, virtually, so he knows we're on 6. He even just wrote Magic Passmanship in number 6.
Oh, so he hasn't even taken 7.
No, he hasn't.
No. Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying. So it doesn't, none of it really makes sense.
Oh, man. Okay. Here's how I'll finish this thing off then.
Yeah.
It's more shooting. It's
fucking
not
finishing
beautiful.
Off just yet.
Well, yeah, you're right. I'm going to take, fucking David Beckham free kickmanship. Yeah, dude, the way the ball just fucking like bends. And so
only he could bend it like that.
Here's the thing, Drew, you probably look at this in baseball and are like, holy fuck, the way the ball drops or whatever. Like, soccer is a bigger ball, so it's easier to see it. So it's even crazier when it bends to me because it's a bigger ball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But there is something fucking beautiful about it. Like, you think it's going here and then it just fucking curves in. And it's like, this is going to sound wild. I found a new Twitter, Instagram, YouTube channel, whatever, that I fucking love, and they just do NBA plays in slow motion. When you see a David Beckham kick and they put it in slow motion, it is fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I've never seen it, but I can imagine.
You can imagine what it'd be like if you did, huh?
No, but like, yeah, it's just fucking like, I don't know. It's cool to see something go somewhere where you know where it's going.
Yeah.
And I know Posh likes the way he bends it too.
When I masturbate myself to sleep tonight, instead of watching porn, I'll watch Beckham in slow motion.
What?
That works.
What if you just literally just masturbated yourself to sleep? Like, not just like, oh, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to get tired. And I'm like, no, you just, it's like you counting sheep. You fall asleep. Oh, yeah. You fall asleep. Like,
you
got
to keep mastering. And you got to edge, too. Otherwise, you got to reload. And that, you know, that takes more time than it takes longer to get to sleep.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the David Beckham where he kicks, like, the three balls on the beach that people were like, that's fake?
And he's I haven't. No,
it's absolutely real.
I haven't, but I'm watching that shit in slow-mo tonight.
Yeah, as he masturbates.
Myself to sleep.
Set himself to sleep, yeah.
I'll watch that in slow motion. Wait.
Wait. Me masturbating or David Beckham?
It's just super slow.
Yeah. It takes 2 hours because it's a 30-minute clip and it's just slow motion. There you go.
Because I didn't turn it off because I fell asleep. And I just kept recording.
I'm sure people fall asleep with dong in hand a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, though, because you wake up.
I can't watch it right now.
And it's just, bam.
Yeah, he needs to save it for later.
Yeah, I'll save it for later when I got some alone time. When I'm trying to get to sleep, get a little nap.
You know what he means.
You know what I mean? You know when my nasies aren't so drippy.
Yeah, you don't want drippy nasies. James!
Dude, it's crazy that we end up turning this into a good podcast after the beginning we had. we're kind of getting deep at some points, and it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
To come from fucking vacuuming, like, to this... It's amazing.
I'll remember.
This is gonna suck.com.
Yeah.
/ The Draft Pod.
I'm going to go with Breaking Backboardsmanship. I'm going to go with Shaq.
I almost had this.
Yeah. Well, Shaq breaking backboards. I just think that that's such a cool thing to be known for. And, like, Shaq even has, like, in the back of his house, he's got this statue made, and it's got a bunch of backboards from boards that he's, like, to signify the backboards that he's broken. It's like this.
Yeah, and he's got that signature, like, a tree. Like, leg out, almost like he's sitting in a chair, dunk kind of thing.
Yeah,
that was like his logo for Twism. The world is mine. There's his brand back in the day, and like his fucking logo. Like so,
yeah.
It was kind of crazy because it was a drop step, and it was fucking powerful as hell, but also like beautiful and fast.
Yeah,
while also being powerful. So the combination of his size, power, and speed, which people don't think about that, all those in one was how he was able to rip these down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's pretty insane.
And it happened multiple times, too, so.
The amount of strength that Shaq has, like, and just the dominance that he had on the basketball court, like.
Yeah.
He's breaking backboards and hearts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Blue chips.
That's right.
He was a blue chipper.
Yeah, and he was in the movie Blue Chips.
Yeah.
It was a double.
Plus.
All right, Drew.
All right. Again, my thesaurus, you know, not working. But Andy kind of made, with his sixth pick, kind of reminded me of this man. And it's his ability that, like, look, am I going to be considered the greatest of all time? Probably not overall, but when it comes to rebounds, you're goddamn right I am. Mm. And that's fucking Dennis Rodman. Like, I love, I guess it's his, focus on an ability?
Self-beliefmanship?
Yeah, like, it's just that, like, again, like, okay, yeah, there's, you know, five tools, whatever that it is in basketball, I don't know.
Yeah.
You kind of drafted them all, shooting, dribbling, passing.
Yeah.
Like,
breaking backboards.
Breaking backboards, yeah.
Sportsmanships.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, and he was just like, look, I'm not going to do all that, but this
tenacity
one thing I am.
Ship.
Yeah, yeah. Like, nobody is going to get a ball from me. Like,
yeah.
And like, on
oh,
top
yeah.
of that,
just
saying also,
defense.
Yeah. But on top of that, also like
tenacity manship.
Yeah, it's best to just make up words. You know, it's fucking he bends the dictionary.
if you ever see a video of Andy bending a dictionary in slow motion, oh man.
Yeah. But yeah, I just think that's cool. Like, again, like, you know, I'm kind of that way with like the shit I do for my job. Like, look, I'm not like, I don't claim to be good at everything but there, but the one thing I am good at, like, you can't fuck with me. And, like, I really appreciate that where like somebody can like once you find your niche,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're not like, you can't take it away from them. And again, also, fuck the system, you know what I mean? Yeah. As he would fucking, you know, with all his crazy hair and dresses and whatnot.
Yeah, what a lunatic.
It would be cool for us, this might be a cool idea, of sports images ingrained in our heads, because there's a Dennis Rodman picture where he is flat straight out, where he is like,
yeah,
diving for the ball.
Yeah.
He's off the ground.
I think there's a sports card
straight
with that image on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what I think of with Dennis Rodman's tenacity manship.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, and tenacity? Come on now.
Come on.
Ten?
That's a double.
Dude.
That's a double.
And I always like that too. Like, well, I can't have 10. Well, give me 9-1 because that equals 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. He's just.
Give me 7-3 or 8-2, whatever his other one was.
It's so wild what he got away with
because
they were like, they understood how much they needed what he brought to the table.
Yeah.
But like, Phil Jackson would be like, all right, Dennis, you need to go to Vegas for a couple days, you know?
Yeah.
And they just come in and like, hey, Dennis, it's time to go. And he's just naked under the sheets with like Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What? Like, who was it? Shaq was talking about it. I saw this clip recently where he said, he's like, man, I hate fucking Dennis Rodman. He's like, this dude doesn't show up on time, gets there. And then he's smelly. I'm like, Dennis, why you smell? And then he just goes, plays a game, doesn't shower, goes to the club, and has the baddest woman in the world on his side. Like what? You know? Yeah, there's something about him.
Yeah.
He's got that ODB to him as well.
Yeah,
he's
definitely
got that Freddie Mercury mixed with ODB.
Exactly.
You
the
know?
The fact that he's like, really good friends with Kim Jong-un too. It's just so crazy to me. It's fucking crazy.
How is that real?
It's so fucking crazy.
Like, hey, you guys, I got a lot of bad stuff on my mind. It's probably a good idea if you send Dennis Rodman over.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
But it also does.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine, though, Dennis rolls up and he's like, see, that's what I like about you, Dennis. We can relate. 6'8", NBA basketball player, Hall of Famer, defense, and they can relate. And the bitch about it is they probably can.
Dude, I keep seeing this clip rotating around, too, like on Instagram, where it's like some European basketball league owner met Dennis Rodman at a bar in Europe at the age when Dennis was 44 years old, and the guy hired him to come and play in one of the games for his team for like $100,000. And Dennis Rodman is just fucking up and down this court, just draining threes left and right. Like a
fucking... That's the thing. So he was a scorer in high school. He scored 70 in a game.
Yeah.
In high school.
Yeah. So,
and
yeah,
then it was like funny because then his whole thing was like he doesn't really score outside of like layups, but like he was hooping back in the day.
Yeah. That's crazy. Hell yeah. Good pick. Yeah. All right, Drew, three honorables.
That's fun.
All right. So, yeah, you know, like I said, you guys are talking about the tools of basketball. For my honorables, it's going to be the tools of baseball. And just like, the Griffey swing, sweetest swing of all time. And then I'm going to go with the man who was my fucking idol as a child. And I'm going to go with Ricky fucking running those bases.
The head first steals. I had that one on my thing.
Yeah. I mean, that the fucking that record will never be broken. Like it's a fact. And last I'm going to go with, Ichiro's arm.
And there's
I'll have to find it, but there's this awesome fucking video of him just like fucking around.
Yeah.
Like on the field. And it's basically like somebody sets up like a bat rack, like with the five bats, and he's just like boom, 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 knocking it off. And then like there's like they put like a fucking drum in the outfield, like a big 55. And he fucking like he's a basically like from like the mound or somewhere. And he fucking throws one up in the air with a huge arch and then rockets the next one. And the second one goes in and then the next one fucking lands in. Jeez. Like, it's insane. Yeah.
That's even better. What's funny is I had Ichiro written down too,
mm-hmm.
but it was his moving, like hitting.
Oh dude. Yeah. I mean, his hitting was, because
Griffey was like sweet while standing in one place.
Yeah.
And then he was hitting balls while he was running to the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he had that. He had like that two-handed drag swing, and it was just amazing. If it wasn't for, you know, if you combine Japanese stats with MLB stats, he would have. He's beaten Pete Rose. Like he has more hits than Pete Rose.
Yeah, he would have had Drake's prolificmanship.
That's right.
Oh yeah,
dude, there is something I forget the dude. It was one of the Japanese pitchers that came over or whatever, and he's like. He gives this great quote where it's like, he's going to unleash the fire that lives beneath me or something. Like, I'm sure it sounds like is normal, like in Japanese, but the translation, like it is such a fucking great quote. It's like the competitive fire that lives within me or something like that.
Oh, man.
Hell yeah.
Masahiro Tanaka, I think was the guy's name.
All right. So here's my honorables.
Mm-hmm.
This one doesn't like really exist anymore because the look is gone. But the look was there at some point, and maybe the look could come back at some point, but I'm just going to say like Britney Spears, like the little look that she used to do. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, like when she would like a video and she'd kind of like
when Justin looked into the camera and it's going to be me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And she had did that same thing.
She like looks away and looks back and then like looks away again. And she does that all the time, like in every music video.
Yeah.
In every video. I feel like every time I've ever seen her on screen and I feel like she still tries to do it now. It's just that she looks a little bit crazy right now. And that's, you know, that's fine too, though. You're allowed to look crazy at some point in your life, too.
Oh, yeah.
What's crazy about dancing around in cowboy boots and your underwear and
with knives and smoking a cigarette? And
Yeah.
That's how I live most Tuesdays.
That's true, you know, like.
I thought it'd be really funny if I just set up a camera just overhead like hers and just, like, did her videos.
So that's the other thing. She's removed everyone from her life that ever gave her any advice, and she's living on her own advice now. And the thing is like, it's still good to have a little bit of a circle that's going to be like, hey,
yeah, yeah,
hey, how about this angle? Like, this might be a little bit more flattering to you, okay. You know, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't have to do the big stuff, but like the little stuff, like,
yeah, it's good to hear no every once
yeah,
in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, man, it's Britney, bitch.
Britney, bitch.
That's true. I'm not shitting on her. I love her, you know?
Yeah.
Hope she's doing well. Hope she's doing well. Tom Hanks pissing. If he pisses in a movie, yeah, that movie's going to be good. And then finally. Finally.
Got to go pee.
Let's do. You know what? Let's just do Charm. And I'm going to go with Ryan Gosling. And it's just like, there's just a charm about the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God, it's Ryan Gosling.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like charmsmanship.
Yeah.
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 Oh.
There's a sweetness.
James, you'll like this one.
We should do a whole draft of charming people.
I like that.
I feel like there's like, because I'm thinking of some more right now, just off the top of the dome.
Yeah.
Dude, Russ Brand, man.
Kevin Aldridge.
Russell Brand. Yeah.
Russell Brand?
You were just saying Russ
Hell
Brand.
Hell yeah.
He's more,
not charming to you guys?
He's more like the gift of gab.
He's so charming to me.
Do you know Russell Brand has become a right-wing, like, talking person now?
I'm talking about, like, in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Well, yeah, I guess
so. That's that sweet spot when he wasn't on drugs and he wasn't a crazy right-winger.
Well, it was when, really, he was doing Inside of You.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about a character in a movie, though. You're not talking about Russell Brand in real life.
Right.
Right. But you said Russell Brand, so that's just what threw everybody off.
I forgot the character name.
Yeah, but if you said, like, Russell Brand in the movie, then maybe we would have.
I probably should have said that.
Something like that, yeah.
But I didn't.
But you can see where we're confused, though.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with a cool one. I'm going to go.
Man, I'm surprised you remembered you had three.
I actually saw this video with this woman talking about Russell Brand. Mm-hmm. And she pinpoints the exact moment where Russell Brand runs out of money talking about liberal sided arguments on certain things. And then it, like, totally flips his switch and does exactly the opposite on a new show where he's talking now conservative-sided things.
Hmm.
And it's actually fucking kind of crazy. It makes Russell Brand look like a real fucking piece of shit.
Oh, it's like every time, like, Kanye makes the news, like, it just so happens he has an album coming out next Friday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like that, but in this case, more like the well ran dry on the one side of his opinions, so he just flipped his opinions to the other side and now is working on the other side of the well, or a different well altogether. And this well is like on some farmland in like a rural area. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry, Andy. Got a little sidetracked again.
I'm going the Post Malone yodel.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It's one of those things that's like, it's like getting the ear sensation of watching Garden State.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
You know?
They really like that's on a lemonade.
It reminds me of like the almost like the West Side Gun, the
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. When he hits that, like, boom, I'm
boom,
like,
boom, boom.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck.
That's what it is.
I like that.
Yeah. Also, all the snow.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo.
All the snow is his character.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Russell Brand is what, right?
No, yeah, all the snow.
Yeah. All the snow's the one I like. I'm gonna go next with Snoop Flow. And this is more about, this isn't just the flow of like his raps, which is like uniquely iconic.
His flow in life.
It is, because like he raps like he talks like he's on the mic. Like we heard it with WrestleMania. Also Raven Night 2 was fire. But like I don't know, he just, that's how he works through life, and like there's something like, you dig? You know, there's something like fucking cool about it. So I'm gonna go with the Snoop Flow.
Dude, I gotta say too, the weed references for the last like whatever 48 hours of WWE were insane.
So high.
Dude, so many. Yeah. So many weed references.
Yeah. I agree. And the last one I'll go with, just to give this guy some love. I think it's one of the prettiest fucking moves in basketball. So yeah, I'm going back to basketball. But the Hakeem Dream Shake. It is like, I don't know. It's just catching. To me, he's the best center of all time. I know that's a hot take. We didn't even take Kareem Abdul. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. For me, it's Hakeem, the two-way players. But his Dream Shake, it's fucking, it's Steph Curry like coming off a screen shooting a three, but for big men.
Yeah.
You know, it's so fucking beautiful. Like, oh, yeah.
Fucking A.
Great hips, great footwork. Dream Shake.
Love it.
Love it. Any steals or ad drops?
No, locked in.
Locked in.
Locked in. Go, James, go for it.
Yeah, it's time.
It is time.
So here we go. This is for I don't even really know.
Dude, James Earl Jones voice.
Oh God, we missed.
I already have Arnold's voice.
Yeah.
Arnold wins. James Earl Jones. You know,
you're right.
Not as universal.
Fucking global, bro.
Because like kids will be like, oh, you mean Darth Vader's voice?
No, don't I wouldn't. You mean I would say Darth Vader's?
I said kids.
I was a kid.
I was a kid.
All right, here we go. So for our teams of impressive traits / things are we're passionate about that other people do / the stuff that people are good at
/ signature moves
/ signature moves. Andy's team number one, Tom
/
Cruise.
Playing the guitar, you know. Andy's teams go
number one, Tom Cruise running manship. Number two, DMX delivery manship. Number three, Kyrie Irving ball handlingmanship. Number four, Ali gift of gabmanship. Number five, Norm MacDonald, the mindsetmanship. Number six, Magic Johnson, the passmanship. And number seven, David Beckham, the free kicksmanship. For James's team, number one, the Kevin Smith storytellingmanship. Number two, Michael Jordan, the will to winmanship. Number three, Jerry Seinfeld, the joke craftsmanship. Number four, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the voicemanship. Number five, Stephen Curry, the shotmanship. And number six, Drake, the prolificmanship. And number seven, Shaq, the breaking backboardsmanship. And for Drew's team, number one, the Freddie Mercury frontmanship. The Barry, number two, the Barry Sanders jump cutmanship. Number three, ODB's absurdity-manship. Number four, Ellie De La Cruz's youthful exuberance-manship. Number five, Lucille Ball's mentor womanship. Number six, George Carlin's philosophy-manship. And number seven, Dennis Rodman's tenacity-manship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how they're all written in, by the way.
Yeah.
That's why at one point you were saying something serious, and we were laughing.
I remember I was like, fuck, did I just say something that I was like,
no. I was watching him go through and add ship, menship to everything that had already been written.
I was like, damn, am I really that fucking, like, boring right now? Like, what am I?
No.
He caught me in real time, and I noticed that he caught me, and it popped me.
Yeah. Well, to that, I say, loves you, bitchmanship.